The winter months are a great time to work on some of those indoor projects you've been putting off. And right now is a great time to make your plans. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, our home improvement expert Bill McAnally will be here. We'll talk about planning your winter basement remodeling project and making a list of things you might want to get done before it gets cold. Bill will also answer your questions about the projects on your to-do list. You can send your questions to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also join us on the phone at 866-780-9100. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. And this is the time of year when you get to just cross all the things you were planning to do all summer off of your list, right, Bill?
That's,
You ran out of time.
But I ran out of time a long time ago.
as did many of us.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about planning your basement remodeling project, the thing you're going to get done this winter. And of course, later in the hour, Bill will take your calls at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send your questions to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So the basement this winter, and I know you have a lot of very strong feelings about basement remodeling.
Yeah. If I had really strong feelings, I'd have mine done. But it's because it's still not finished yet. I haven't even decided what I'm going to put in there. You know, with Iowa, most people have a basement, and we kind of tend to either use it for storing stuff that the cardboard boxes get wet on the bottom, or we use it, you know, for a kind of a getaway or a chef away for loud kids, you know, go down and watch TV. When we start thinking about how to, you know, do a complete remodel or, you know, even just, a freshening up of the basement, you've got to figure out really what you are going to use it for, how often you're going to be down there. You know, what kind of a budget do I have? But, you know, it's probably a good thing to bring someone in, like a third party or a friend that will tell you honestly, it's kind of creepy down here. Maybe we ought to think about maybe doing something upstairs. It kind of depends on how old the house is, you know, what kind of problems it has.
So it's very attractive to think about remodeling the basement because it gives you so much more space in the house. But what you're saying is there are some basements that you should not turn into a living space.
There are. You know, you just can't say, you watch on TV and says, oh, man, look at that theater room. You know, I think I'll go ahead and put some Lazy Boys, you know, and then you go down your basement and it's like 6 feet tall. Well, by the time you put a Lazy Boy in there, you know, you've got your head bent over trying to watch TV.
Right. And you've seen my basement, Bill. You know that we're not a candidate.
Oh, it's ready to go.
It's,
yes.
No.
No.
But how about, I mean, obviously, if your basement is flooding all the time, you have other issues to work on. But if your basement, say, floods once every couple of years, that kind of thing, do you need to think, oh, maybe I should not?
You may. You know, there's things that you can do, hopefully, you know, to maybe dry that basement out. You know, we've talked about them all the time about, you know, maybe having the land sloping away from the basement, and having, maybe a moisture system or water management system put in your basement. But then it comes back to, okay, my house was built in the 70s and I have concrete block foundation, and yeah, it's bowing in a little bit. Okay, do I want to plump $30,000 into this basement that, well, maybe it's going to bow a little bit more next year and it's going to leak a little bit more? So, you know, you want to maybe bring in a contractor too to say, you know, okay, if we are going to finish this basement and I'm going to guarantee this thing to be dry, we're going to have a lot of money invested before we even think about what kind of wall finishes you're going to have down here. And if you're going to have a TV and if you're going to have carpet or tile or whatever, there are so many things to do. And then, you know, you kind of have to back up a little bit and say, well, if I'm going to finish the basement off, what's up above me? Am I ever going to remodel the rooms up above? Do I ever have the sink that leaks or the bathtub that leaks? And then if I'm going to have that, well, do I really want a nice, beautiful tin ceiling on, you know, down here? I think almost the basement is probably the hardest thing to probably design around, you know, a room, because usually you have really one good exit. You'll have a set of stairs, and half the time those stairs need to be redone anyway. Do you really have enough headroom for all the stuff that you need? I do need to have probably a good second exit. So what am I going to – am I going to put a – you know, cut a hole through the wall and have an egress window, and then, well, where can I run that? Okay, the deck is hiding – you know, that side of the house, and got all these bushes over here. It just, you know, it almost becomes an endless list of things to do. And that's why, you know, it's only September. And that's why we kind of want to focus on it now, because this may be something you want to do in February, March. Well, this gives you plenty of time to run down a list of, you know, what you really want to have. And, you know, just one thing, a friend of mine said, well, my basement's kind of damp. And so just a little bit, but mostly the floor. So, okay, well, you know, maybe some of it's just from, you know, condensation. But, you know, he says, well, why don't I buy these little cool little panels they sell that kind of holds the floor up off of the old floor, you know, and then the water can run underneath there. And I said, well, you know, now you've got a little pool and it's going to be all moldy underneath there. So you're still going to have the mold. You just can't see it. And then there's always the thing is, okay, if you're going to raise your floor up, what does that do to your stairs? You come down the stairs, and every one of them, let's say, is 7 inches, and now you've put 2 inches of something on your floor to insulate it or to keep it dry, and now the last one's 5 inches tall. Okay, well, now what happens? Now you've got to redo all your stairs. You know, some people will charge you $1,000 just to redo their stairs. So, you know, you might have a radon issue. First of all, before you do anything, you know, you want to check it for radon and, you know, get that issue taken care of. But, you know, there's...
You have to do a lot of things before you actually start thinking, ooh, what would look pretty down here?
It is. It really is, because, you know, when you're upstairs, you can, well, you know, I'd love to have a window here. Take the sawzall, cut a hole inside of the house, basically, and plop a window in. It's not something you do in a basement, and especially if you have a, a rock foundation or the old clay tile, they're a nightmare. The concrete block foundation, sometimes when you start messing around with those, cutting a hole to put an egress window in, and now all of a sudden things start really moving because you've taken some of the structural integrity out of it. That's why this is one of those you really have to think about. You know, the other thing is lighting. How am I going to light this down here? Am I going to have can lights? Or am I going to have focus lights? Do I want to have paintings? You know, do I want to have a TV down here? Okay, let's have a TV. Do you want to hear it in the living room upstairs when you're playing the one down there? No. Okay. Now we're looking at all this sound control, and you'd almost have to treat it like you're in the middle, let's say you're in the middle of a three-story apartment building, and, you know, I have to worry about what's below me. You know, this time you only have to worry, you know, you worry about moisture, things like that. But on the sides and up above, you may have to worry about a lot of sound transmission and what about wiring? You know, if I'm going to have something down there, maybe my main panel can't handle it. Okay, now you're looking at a $3,000 to $4,000 upgrade on your electrical just to have a room down there. It's really a nightmare.
All right, so you need really a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm just really, really upbeat today.
Tremendous vote of confidence.
Yep.
So once you get all of those issues squared away,
sure,
taken care of,
sure,
made your plan,
sure,
are there some things that you just really think should never be in a basement? I know you've witnessed a lot of basement cleanups over the years. Are there a few pitfalls that we can all avoid?
Yeah, I think one of the last things you want to have, and I'll probably get some people mad at me today, but in a lot of new housing and some retrofits, sometimes the cheapest thing to put up on a wall to insulate it are, I always call them diapers. They're the fiberglass wrapped in white plastic that you would use in like an agricultural building, a pole barn or commercial, because it's fast and it's cheap. So they just nail it at the top of your wall and just let it drape there. And the reason we call it a diaper is almost every time when you pull that away from the wall, it's wet. And so if it's wet, then there's mold and there's moisture. In a lot of new homes, especially, say, in the Des Moines area, I've got a friend that's an inspector over there, and he's told me, he said, whenever, you know, legally you can put this up, and it does meet all the codes. But he said a lot of times he'll go by 2 weeks later, and it's laying out in the street getting ready to be hauled away because it's wet and it's ugly. You know, how are you going to finish white plastic hanging on your wall? So, you know, what you want to do is make sure that everything you put in there is going is meant for an area that maybe come damp once in a while and can easily dry. And you don't want to have a humidifier. A basement's a place for a dehumidifier, never a humidifier. And it's funny how many times you'll go into a basement and you see a humidifier down there. I'm thinking, you've got so much moisture coming in here. Why do you want to add even more? Carpet on a basement floor, unless it's insulated either underneath that basement floor, you know, when it was built, or you add foam insulation on top and then plywood on top of that. That's the only time you should really ever have carpet. And unless, you know, even if you know, okay, I'm on top of a rock hill, if you put a piece of cardboard down on that floor, you know, and put a weight over it and come back in a week or so and it's damp, then you don't want any carpet down there.
Okay, that's a good test.
It's just, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, some people will say, well, tape a piece of plastic down if you see any condensation. Well, half the time the tape won't stick because it's wet.
So,
I really don't think carpet in a basement is any time a good deal.
Because,
and let's say the sump pump back quits, power goes off, and your battery backup, you know, now it's wet. What do you do with it? I mean, you try to dry it, but that's a long process to dry it. So it really shouldn't be carpet down there.
Maybe some area rugs.
You know, yeah, maybe some area rugs. If you like, take them out, hang them over the line and dry them down later. But, you know, ceramic tile.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, what kind of flooring do you recommend?
Yeah, ceramic tile or even just painted floor or, you know, like the 12-inch by 12-inch. You know, we always just call them like a commercial tile that you would, you know, see in a commercial building. Something like that. Or, you know, what a lot of people are doing now is they're staining their concrete floors and they're etching them with acid. And really, I mean, when you see an acid-etched floor and then somebody that's really an artist, definitely not me, but they'll put lines in it, you know, curves. And people walk down a basement and you swear that finish is 3 inches thick. I mean, it's just amazing how good those floors can look with somebody that really knows how to handle concrete.
All right. And you can wear slippers.
And yes, you can wear slippers. And you know what? If your sump pump backs up, you squeegee it, put out a couple fans, and you're done. And you never want to see anybody put, you know, fiberglass bat insulation all the way down to the floor. And if they're going to put fiberglass bats in a basement wall and they're going to put it up against concrete, ask the builder, are you going to guarantee me that's never going to sweat? And they'll say no. Well, then I don't want that product in there. There better be foam first, and then you can put your fiberglass.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment, and Bill will answer your questions about your basement or really anything else in your house, your outbuildings, your shed, your garage. Give us a call. Your deck, 866-780-9100. Your fence, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, is here today to answer your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we've got our first question on the line, Bob in Marion. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
I have an 1891 stone foundation. Back in the 70s, they insulated it by putting fiberglass up against the walls.
Yep.
I've been pulling it off in order to retuck point the foundation. And on the one wall that I've done so far, I've basically built a wall inside the wall by framing a wall with aluminum-backed styrofoam on the outside, and then fiberglass on the inside.
Okay.
Am I crazy?
No. I mean, that's one way to handle it. You know, be sure to keep the fiberglass and that type of foam up off the floor a little bit. So what you've done is you've got the framed wall, like, say, 6 inches inside the stone wall?
Four, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, that is one method to do that. The other thing, you know, when it comes up to the top, I guess, how are you handling that at the top? Are you running the foam all the way up in between the floor joists and to the floor up above?
No, actually, I'm putting the framing in the cavity in the rigid foam and bringing it out horizontally to match the wall I'm building.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, that's one method. You know, the key is if there is going to be moisture, you know, with the stone, is that can still get away some way down at the bottom and get to a drain. I know what some people, that bottom plate that you probably have sitting on the floor, some guys will kind of put spacers underneath that so water can flow underneath it and get to a drain rather than getting trapped and being sucked up into the wood. You know what? That's probably I would do a wall and just kind of check and see if you do get some condensation, maybe on the foil on the outside. It still may occur. That's why basements are so tough, because of our different temperatures, different moistures and levels and that. I would kind of take a peek every once in a while, see if there's any moisture there, and then maybe look at the fiberglass insulation, pull it back a little bit, and make sure that there's no, you know, condensation between the fiberglass and the foil face foam as well. Some of the foil face foams, they aren't made to be around any moisture, so that's why you want to keep it up a little bit on the bottom. One other way to do it is there's a product called Drywall. It's Driwall, and it's a mesh that this was Department of Energy is recommending. Is you take this mesh and then you tack it at the top of the wall onto the wood framing, and then they spray foam over that. So then you don't have to do any, you know, the only framing you would do then is the framing you're doing now, but then you could just go ahead and drywall it and wire it.
So they spray it directly on the stone foundation then?
No, they spray this mesh kind of hangs over the stone. And then they spray the foam onto this mesh, so it's just kind of basically a foam drape. Yeah, if you Google just that drywall, Driwall, it's got some really good pictures. We're kind of recommending that on some commercial projects I'm involved in and on brick buildings. And it's kind of nice because it allows the moisture to go away. It's insulating, and then you are going to end up putting something like a paint or a fireproof coating over the top of the foam. But, you know, the method you're doing now, if you're comfortable with it, I still would check it, because there are still some things that can happen with whenever we frame and we butt foamed against each other and things. But, you know, that's a good use for a foam and fiberglass combination. It's a little different than most, but I think it's still going to work.
All right. Thank you much.
You bet.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Sherry in Des Moines. Hi, Sherry.
Hello. I have a big question on, just like the first fellow, on old walls. Mine are old brick walls, and I'm repairing the brick, so that'll all be done. But then I want to put hard foam over that. And I was thinking about no cover, since it's, you know, it's just it's a very old basement. So I need to know, can I put something like 2x4s?
So yeah.
I have an airspace.
Well, the best thing to do is put like the best thing would be to put like 2 inches of foam right up against the brick, tight.
Oh, good.
Put the foam right up against the brick everywhere, and then you can frame up on the inside of it with 2x4s.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing in new homes, is that method right there. But just remember, you know, the big trick is that the top and in between the floor joists. The floor joists have to be insulated as well, but they also have to be airtight. So if you put fiberglass inside of, in between the floor joists, you know, up above your basement wall, you still have to put, like, say, a piece of foam and then caulk around the foam so air can't go through the fiberglass and hit the cold wood on the outside of it. So those all have to be airtight as well. So what some are doing, like what you are right now, let's say you go right up the brick, is they will go up and then go right up in between the floor joists all the way to the floor up above with your foam.
Yes. No, with my hardcore foam.
Yes. Now, the best one for that use is an extruded foam, like any of the blue, green, pink, you know, the colored foams.
Oh, yes.
Rather than the white foams. It has a higher R value, and it holds up to moisture better. But there again, you know, you want to make sure that if you are going to, if you have had instances of water and moisture, that you have a way for that to get away at the bottom.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I have the blue foam, and I put, and how do I adhere that to my brick walls? What do I use?
Well, you know, what some will do, they will tack it with, they call them tap cons. If you go to a lumber yard, just ask them for tap cons. Or they have a new kind of a, especially if the mortar or the brick is soft, they have a newer plastic fastener that you drill through the foam and into the brick about an inch, and then you drive this nail and plastic sleeve system right in the brick, and it holds it. But the nice thing is you only need to tack it, because when you put your stud wall against it, that's going to hold it in place.
Okay. Sherry, thank you so much for your call, and good luck with your project. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And this one falls a little outside your wheelhouse, Bill, but
it's not
give
wallpaper,
it a try.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
From Jim in Johnston, I have squirrels gnawing on the aluminum exterior trim of my skylights. Is there a paint or something I can use to repel the squirrels? Also, can I use epoxy to fill the grooves in the aluminum?
Yeah, you can use epoxy. But didn't we talk about this last month about my son-in-law's fence? Those doggone squirrels climbed on the tree, and they're gnawing on the aluminum post of his aluminum fence. I thought, there's no way. They must – I don't know if they like aluminum because that's what they sharpen their teeth on. But, yeah, they're gnawing his fence away. I couldn't believe it. So there's got to be something. And if you find it, let me know, because I've got to put it on top of that fence.
But he can use epoxy.
Yeah, you can use an epoxy. You know, they make I think even the JB Weld kind of has an aluminum filler, and you can form it. You know, epoxy will work, but, you know, there's got to be a reason. There's got to be something you could coat that too. I don't know if you could still – they used to make a creosote paint to keep – that's probably not bad or good for horses, you know, to keep gnawing from wood. That's a long time ago though. I would go to an Earl May or a place like that and say, hey, what do you guys have for critters to keep from just gnawing on anything? You know, cayenne pepper or some sort of a paint. I don't know. But, yeah, you can use the epoxy. Long story short, yes, you can go ahead and use the epoxy.
All right. Here's Julie on the line in Hudson. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
We're in the process right now of a basement remodel, and our home is over 150 years old.
Wow.
And in the old part of the basement, we have the exposed stone. So it's just huge granite boulders. One of them is probably 2 feet across by 2 feet wide, you know, huge. And it's all been retuck pointed.
Oh.
And yet, because they're stone, the water has pushed through some of the stone cracks.
Yep.
Not the crack. Okay.
Yep.
So in our basement on June 29th, that big, huge flood that northeast Iowa got, we got water into the new addition part of our basement. So we have totally gutted everything. We're doing this professionally.
Okay.
We don't do this. Our question is, everything's being remodeled now, and on the outside of this old stone foundation that we have, they want to put a rubber liner down along in there. And I just wonder, is this going to be effective?
It, you know, it really depends on how much water's coming horizontally.
Okay.
You know, that's what they're doing is probably, you know, I would try the same thing probably if they're going to dig down all the way. and cover.
Right. Yeah, it's not very deep.
Yeah, but they're still going to have a way to, to divert that water. They'll probably backfill it with gravel and put some drainage system in.
Okay.
So there's no hydraulic pressure. They'll want to do that rather than just throwing the dirt back in, because then you really don't gain much.
Okay.
But then sometimes on these older basements, the water's coming from below.
Right.
And, through capillary action, they get sucked up. But they're just trying to relieve the hydraulic pressure from that. So they're going to have to still tie that all into a good, sump pump system, or if you can have the ability to drain to daylight, if you've got a sloping lot.
Yes.
I've also seen – I might want to run it by him, too, because I can't see the outside of the house. But I know what some of them have done, that's a combination of what they're talking about on the outside, running that all the way down to the – it probably doesn't have a footing. It's just got the biggest rocks down at the bottom.
Right.
Running it all the way down, and then about a foot down into the ground, they run one about 5 feet horizontally.
Okay.
So it catches any surface water from from, downspouts or from flowing around your house, diverts it away before it can get down into there. So they kind of do a belts and suspenders. So the one goes up on the wall all the way to the top, and then another one will come down into the ground about a foot and then go out about 5 feet horizontally. So, just run that by them. They'll probably say, Bill's full of baloney. That's okay. But it's just another, because I can't see what you have, but it may help divert some of the surface water as well. But that, that's nothing out of the realm. I think that's a good idea on what you have, because sometimes that's about the only thing you can do is drape a real heavy rubber membrane across it.
Right. And we have that drainage system where it goes, because they tried to grow grass before we moved in. And so the downspouts actually drain down into the ground and then out to the corner of our lot.
Okay, so the downspout, but they don't have the downspouts tied into the drains that are surrounding your foundation, though, do they? Okay,
no.
Good.
No.
Good.
No, because that's illegal.
Good, good. Yeah.
Right.
There's some architects that would still do that, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we found that, actually, when we got into this project, was that this was a hobby house, and it's beautiful, but there were some misguided things going into the sump pump. So we're coming up to code and getting it all cleared away. And it'll be beautiful once we're done. And we're not putting carpet back down. We're putting down tile.
Good. Great. Well, good.
So,
sounds like you're doing a good job.
Yes, it'll be beautiful.
Good.
Thank you very much.
All right,
you bet.
Julie. Thanks a lot for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next up, John is on the line in Beaverdale. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi. Hello,
class of 72 grappler. Greetings to you.
Hey, good.
Holtorf's the last name.
Yes, how are
you? Anyway, good. How are you doing?
Super.
The wife and I moved into a little Beaverdale brick about 10 years ago, and down in the basement.
Uh-oh.
You still there?
Yeah, now I am, yeah.
Sorry, something beeped. The basement, they had carpet, they had nice office, all that kind of stuff. Of course, we were there not very long, and then it became obvious there were water problems, so we wound up pulling up the carpet, pulling up the five layers of stick-on vinyl tile to find bright red, brilliant blood red paint on the floor. We scraped every square millimeter of that basement, the walls, the floor, everything. Got it painted, concrete primers, painted. Paint's held up great. We did a radon test for about 200-day radon test. Came up 11.8.
Okay.
Well, I've been smoking for 40 years, so I'm not worried about myself. But my wife is pure and clean as the wind-driven snow, and she exercises down there in the morning. We've got a thing. I don't know if radon abatement's the answer. You tend to get a little skeptical about a lot of the warnings that people put out about everything. Lead paint, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, how serious is that? Do you have any recommendations about that?
Well, since we're classmates, I'll give you the free version, and the best one is, I tell you what we've really found out, listening to different people over the last few years, that almost everybody that puts a radon system in, they're doing it for radon, and your level's plenty high to have it done anyway, but their basements end up to be so much drier because that for that system to work, they have to create a negative pressure, and it's actually sucking the vapor and moisture out of the ground in that. and around the concrete. And so then you're going to end up with a lot healthier basement, even if you forgot the radon. We're trying to get people to put them in, even if they had – let's say they had a radon reading of zero, to put them in just to help keep your basement drier.
All right.
So – John, that's what I would do, especially a house built in the early 70s, because I know how we build them.
Well, this was built in the late 20s.
Oh, late 20s. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's an older house.
Oh, then I'd really do it. Sure.
Where? Yeah. Okay.
Because where's the house at?
Beaverdale.
Okay. Yeah, you've got some really good licensed radon guys down here.
Yeah,
but I would do it just for the health.
That is likely that my neighbors have the exact. It's not like the radon at my house is going to be lower than the radon at my next door neighbors. I mean, it's an area wide thing, right?
Oh yeah, but it radon's so weird. I mean, so let's say you've got 11.8. You could put another pit at the other end of the basement, and that may affect it, may raise or lower. But you could go to your neighbor and they could have one, or they could have 40, and the bad thing is you can't pre-test for it. You know, that's one of the first things I asked when we heard about it is, can we pre-test? Because then if it's really high, I don't want this lot. But no, you can't, because Iowa's got the highest average. And so, yeah, 11.8, if she's down there, yeah, I really would. And the thing is, smokers, it affects more than, you know, if you've been smoking, then you're at more risk than someone that hasn't been.
All right, John, thanks a lot for your call.
Hey, good to hear from you, John.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, will answer more of your questions. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, ready to answer your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have a lot of email questions, so we'll try to get through a few of these here. This is from Barb. I have 2x4 studs on the garage walls, but with yellow fiberglass insulation for 2x6 studs. Wall board not up yet. Should the over-thick insulation be replaced by proper thickness, or should we screw 2x2s over the studs to make them 2x6 stud size, then put wall board up, but will that be sturdy enough to hang shelves, etc.?
So what I'm getting is that
they've got 2x4 studs, they've got insulation for 2x6s.
Yeah, because then when somebody comes by and looks, oh, you've got R19 in your walls, and you don't when you crunch it down. You can go ahead and screw 2x2s on the inside of it. You know, it's going to that much insulation. It's just going to be just as strong as long as you screw it about every 16 inches.
Okay.
And use, a heavy deck screw, not a drywall screw. And it wouldn't hurt either to, run a bead of adhesive like PL400 or something down that when you do the same thing.
All right. So but they can just do that and then put up the wall board and proceed.
Yeah. All right. Because it's kind of fun to get the R value. What's really neat when we look at wall sections is standard 2x6s are 5.5 inches. So you just do the ratio of what 5.5 is to 6, and then you take that same thing and, okay, if it's R19, now I condense it down to 5.5. That's made for 6. I condense it down to 5.5. What's the real R value? Well, it's, it's 18. Well, you do the same. You take a one that's made for an R20 for a 5.5, you crunch it down to 3.5, you really haven't gained anything at all. You paid for a lot more. So it just depends what they want to do. But, what are they going to do with the insulation if they don't? And if it's in a garage, yeah, but if it's – and that's what they said was a garage, right? Yeah. So I'd just go ahead and do the 2x2s. But the thing is, don't buy 2x2s because they're too much money. Get 2x4s and rip them down because it's amazing the price – what they charge for 2x2s sometimes. So, really do your due diligence and check those prices. That's something that's always bothered me. Like a 1x4 is more than a 2x4. Does that make sense to you? No, it's half the thickness. No.
Okay.
Moving on. Squirrel. Yeah.
All right, Barb. So I hope that helps you out. This is from Dan. Since you brought it up, how much do you think standard radon mitigation should cost?
Well, the friends that I have, it's been running around $1,500. Just the basic one. And that's if they're able to run it up through the inside of the house and out the roof. Sometimes it's a little more if they run it up the outside of the house and it has to still go all the way up, can't come out, foundation goes all the way up, then where the money, when the money gets a little higher, is do you want it to look really ugly and cheap, or do you want to have it look good on the outside? And so that's where the cost difference is kind of camouflaging this ugly pipe going up the outside of your house. If, but that's about where it's been running, you know, $1,500, $1,600, at least in the Fort Dodge area. So,
all right.
And there again, I really wish that people would really look at that and put it into their mortgage and put it into their basement. It doesn't – I could care less, you know, about the radon. I mean, I do care, but I could care less about whether they think you're going to high reading or not. It's just going to make that basement that much drier and okay. usable, you know, down the road.
All right. This is from Erica. Would vinyl plank tiles or cork flooring be good for a basement? Would they adhere properly to the floor?
Well, you know, I don't – it depends on the adhesive. And cork – I think cork may absorb – the water, I haven't worked with it that much. I don't know what the absorption rate is on it. But, you know, when I think of cork, I think of dense cardboard. And that's just the way my brain works. So, but vinyl, you know, that may work. But there again, you know, you want to find out what the product is. And one thing we have been running into, too, and I still have one that we haven't figured out yet, is the adhesives that we're using on different products, like say, you know, when we put rubber base molding maybe down in a basement, we've had two instances now where you get this really bad smell throughout the whole house because the adhesives and the product and what they're gluing it to are not compatible. And we still have one, a brand new house that smells really strong ammonia in the house and the garage, and we can't figure out. So you know, you want to make sure whenever you're using vinyls and plastics and adhesives that they are compatible. And you may want to even call the manufacturer. Am I going to get off-gassing from this that's going to maybe push me out of the house? Because one house up in Waterloo, they had to move out of the house because it smelled so bad. So, you know, you do it, you know, it sounds easy, but still, again, you want to do some research on it.
Okay. This is from Heidi and Clive. We have an 11-year-old four-season room with the heating cooling system runs from the original system. We strongly suspect they chose not to insulate the crawl area because the floor is so cold in the winter. So we would now need to cut through a poured foundation to have a view and access to perhaps incorporate the foam style insulation. Is this a good idea structurally, and what are the options to repair that area?
Yes, you should get underneath there anyway, because if it's cold, what may have happened 11 years ago, depending on who did it and, you know, what the budget was too sometimes, is there may be absolutely no insulation and the crawl space may be bare dirt. And if it's just bare dirt and you heat that in the winter, there may be some other rotting issues going on. So the best thing to do is to access it, say, from you know, either the outside or the inside. Probably going to be less of a mess if you can cut into it from the outside. But you do not want that vented, though, either. Remember that. If you're going to access it, you want to put a permanent door over. But which, if you go in there and it's just bare dirt – you're going to want to put plastic down, seal it for moisture and radon, and then insulate the walls with foam, and then insulate in between the floor joists, but don't insulate the actual floor. So that what we used to do is we used to put fiberglass up in the floors, and fiberglass is very porous, so it would still feel very cold, especially if the if there's cold air coming from outside. It's just a nightmare. They're going to have to really get in there and somehow get in there and take a look at what's going on. Now, you may have a friend that likes building science, or a person that does automotive work. They have these small flexible cameras like on a wand about 36 inches long. You can drill a hole somewhere, maybe pull the carpet back in a corner, drill a hole and stick that down in there, and then you can see what you have without, you know, tearing everything up. But if that floor is cold – something is wrong, and if that ductwork is uninsulated underneath there, then that's another nightmare waiting to happen as well. And so, yeah,
it's
Mr. Bad News today.
News, yeah.
In some cases, that may be depending how big it is. What some will do is they're not going to tack; they're just going to cut off what came from the house, and they'll put like a mini split heat pump or something like that to heat and cool just that small area, or a unit similar to what you see in a motel. Right. But they better look, because that's always scary when you have a room like that and you heat it and it's cold on the floor. Then there's a reason
now,
something's
if you
wrong.
Don't have a friend, because not everybody does have a friend with a camera like that, Bill, believe it or not. Can you call somebody? Is there somebody who can come in and do that exploration?
Yeah, a lot of building inspectors, the licensed building inspectors that realtors hire. Majority of those guys have those.
Okay.
But
all right.
Yeah, or you can do a really big hole and just stick your head down in there too.
No, so. I think that's a bad idea. I'm not endorsing that recommendation. All right, Dennis is on the line next from Homestead. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call, Bill.
Yep.
I'm going to hitchhike on a prior caller calling this a hobby house.
Okay.
And what I have is a basement, if you will, notched out of a side of a hill.
Okay.
Meaning that three sides are a cement block to the dirt, and the other side is open to the outside, okay?
Sure.
Okay. What we have done, we put in the cement block. We then tarred it on the outside. We put in 12 inches of insulation block, and then about 16 inches wide of gravel.
Okay.
So I'm pretty confident we don't have any infiltration, if you will, of water from the outside into the building.
Okay.
On the inside, then on the cement block, we painted it with a water sealer type paint.
Okay.
Now, my question is in the summertime, we have a tremendous amount, I believe, common condensation to the point where it's even running off the side of the cement block.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way of correcting that, I guess you might say?
Yeah. On the inside, so you're looking at the bare block right now, anyway, with just the water sealer on it.
Correct.
Yeah, I would probably put the 2 inches of extruded foam over that, and then you'll have to cover that with something a fireproof coating. Either frame it up and put drywall, or put drywall right to the foam. Because you know, when we use concrete block, a lot of that moisture may be coming from below through capillary action where the footings are sitting in the soil.
Mm-hmm.
How old is the house?
It's about 3 years old.
Okay. Do you know
so
if
we're talking a new our new foundation.
Okay. Do you know if they put a capillary break over the top of the footing, like a tar coating over the top of the footing before they started laying the block? They probably didn't, did they?
No, we did not.
Okay. Well, then a lot of the moisture may be coming up, and so – you know, it's going to migrate through the block. And I used to lay block foundations all the time. They were a lot of fun. So you've got all those hollow cores in there that,
What we did on this one, in order for strength, we filled that up with concrete, each one of those cores.
Okay. So then you've got basically a big mass wall.
Bingo.
All right.
Yes.
Yep. So you're going to, so that moisture really crawls up those because it's solid, but it's just going to constantly stay, you know, kind of cool. And so then that warm moisture inside the house is going to hit that cool surface and condense. Because what's the relative humidity, you know, inside your house most of the time? Is it like in the 40s?
Oh, no, I would say it's almost more than that.
Okay.
This is a basement house. I mean, it's just the basement itself.
Yeah.
Basically. Basement with a roof over it.
Well, yeah. So, you know, the only way to get away from that is to warm that, you know, is to warm that surface up or to keep the warm air from hitting it. So I would put 2 inches of foam over it and then finish that off.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's about the only way of doing it then.
Yeah, I really like what you did on the outside, though. That's a good way to handle that exterior.
Well, we were concerned about that, and we knew that we would possibly have a problem. So, you know, with that gravel and also a tile underneath the gravel to get it away, we were very concerned. So.
Okay.
We did it. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks.
All right, Dennis, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, we've got Wally in Bradford. Hi, Wally.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is an exposed concrete block foundation on a farmhouse.
Sure.
Or a tile block foundation. 25 years ago, it was common to see the sprayed-on foam on these farmhouse foundations.
Yeah.
What are my options today, and what's probably the best product?
Well, you know, you really have kind of two two of them now. Most of them still put a foam on the exterior. They'll put a, like say, a 2-inch foam, and then they'll put, they call it, most of the guys call it a drive it system, you know, a stucco, almost similar to what, you know, you're thinking of in the past, but it's a, more of a vinyl product and it holds up really good. They'll call it a drive it or an EFAS, and it can be sprayed on or it can be troweled on over the top of that foam. But now they put a really nice flashing on the top of it, so they tuck it in behind the siding, and then the water comes off the siding, goes over the top of the foam, and goes away. Or there, you can buy the pre-finished foam panels. I think the company, their name was Styro, S-T-Y-R-O, I think it was. They were out of Wisconsin. They were taking Dow brand styrofoam, and not pushing that brand or anything, but it was that type of, that was that foam. And then they had an acrylic sand, kind of a gravel finish on the outside of it. And they came in 4-foot sections, I believe, by 2-foot tall. So you had a seam, and we used those on a commercial product or project, and they're holding up really well so far. They've only gone through one winter, but you know, still kind of the same thing. But you're just looking at, if someone is familiar with like the EFA systems, and a lot of times it's the commercial guys that really know how to do it well. You see a lot of the, you know, like these small shopping centers there, that's what they're going. It kind of looks like they have the stucco on the exterior finish now, and it's all different colors, so you have different facades. That's basically what they're doing, is exactly what you're thinking of doing. But don't just stop at the ground. You know, if you can go down, like, say, 4 feet at least into the ground, you're going to get more bang for your buck as well.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Just covering up the top, you know, you'll get some, but it's best to go down in the ground. If you go all the way down, it'd be great. But if you can, you know, at least get down in there, you know, 3-4 feet, then you're going to get a substantial amount of help that way.
All right, Wally. Thanks, Wally. A lot for your call. And Justin is on the line in Urbandale. Oh, hello, Justin. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Good.
What's your question? We've just got a couple minutes left.
Another classmate.
Okay. Right. So, I've got my house was built in '52. I've got a cinder block foundation. First thing I asked the folks when I bought, or before I bought the place, is, do you get water in the basement? They said just a little trickle.
Yeah.
You know, when it rains real hard. Well, 5 times now in the last 2 years, I've gotten inches of water in the basement.
Yeah.
And it runs like a river all the way through it.
There's
a fairly new sump pump installed. I don't know, or I can't tell, whether or not there was a drainage tile system installed at the same time. It comes in two spots. It comes in the west. It comes in the south.
Yeah.
The neighborhood slopes from north to south. The guy I bought it from, 6 months before he put the house on the market, he put a landscaping wall on the south side of the house. So my theory is this thing is acting like a bathtub, and you know,
sure.
holding all the water in, and then that's where it maybe. And if there is a drainage tile system, it's overwhelming it. Now the reason I think there is a drainage tile system, but I can't be sure, is because when the water comes in, it is crystal clear. It's clean. There's no dirt or anything in it. What are your thoughts on this, and how would I go about stopping it?
Well, you know, if you can get access to that, because in the 52, if around 52 and 60, especially the early 60s, you know, they were using that like 4-inch clay tile block for their drainage system. And they always laid it on top of the footing where the wall and the footing met. So it's too high anyway, but it's probably full. And so now it's not getting it away quick enough. You know, it's full of soil, I mean, but it's not getting away quick enough. But it's going through the ground and you know, filtering it. So you see it where it's nice and clean. You know, you may want if you get access to it, sometimes a plumber will come with a pressure washer and they can clean that out, or you're going to have to put another whole tile system on the outside or the inside to get that away. And I would look at that wall and see if that is holding your water back.
All right, Justin.
Sorry, that's so short.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. Sorry, we're running out of time. Bill McAnally, thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much.
We're going to have to revisit this topic.
Yes, we will.
It's a very popular topic.
Yes, it is.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, he will be back again next month. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, Claire Roth, and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, it's Horticulture Day. This is Talk of Iowa.